Hello, and welcome to the Your Retina Independent Medical Education Consensus video interviews on dry AMD and geographic atrophy. My name is Peter Kaiser, and today I'll review key considerations for early diagnosis of dry AMD and how to assess risks for disease progression to geographic atrophy, as well as emerging treatment options. When it comes to potential side effects of the GA treatments targeting the complement system, 100% of the experts voiced a concern regarding a possible inflammatory response. Based on the first real-world data with complement treatments, how frequent are these events, and they are specific to this class of drugs? Well, there are several adverse events that we saw come out of the phase 3 clinical studies for our two geographic atrophy treatments. The first was an increased incidence of exudative CNV. Now, this is a very strange and perplexing adverse event, but it was consistent with both of our drugs. So maybe this is a class effect, and it's certainly something we need to watch for when we follow patients who are being treated. Some of the other adverse events that we need to look out for are intraocular inflammation. And we did see this in both clinical studies. And the question is, how bad is that intraocular inflammation? And does it lead to very significant inflammation, including retinal vasculitis, or even worse, retinal occlusive vasculitis? So when I discuss with my patients the safety profiles of these geographic atrophy treatments, I specifically mention both intraocular inflammation, retinal vasculitis, as well as choroidal neovascularization, and tell them that these are things we're going to watch very closely for.
Well, I think this is probably the most important question, because first we are concerned about safety and then about efficacy. So I think that we all agree that it's very important that any specific treatment should be safe. But I think it's too early to really analyze the safety of this new complement inhibition treatment, because if we have a look to the data coming from the clinical trials, no similar effects appear. So first we need to understand why these events appear and to keep in mind that it's been a very little number of patients regarding the important number of injections that we have already done. So probably we need to again be very precise in the follow-up of these patients, as we usually do when we are using any new treatment, as we did with the first anti-VEGF injections, as we did with a steroids injection. So at the beginning, we just need to pay a little bit more attention about what happens after the first injection, and with the time we all learned what were the real causes of this inflammation and how frequent they appear. So we just need to be a little bit careful about the follow-up of patients at the beginning.
With an estimating 73,000 real-world injections performed as of August 22nd, the cases of severe intraocular inflammation associated with retinal vasculitis have been rare and sporadic at a rate of approximately 0.01% per injection. It's notably that these cases were not found during the clinical trials, in which were performed approximately 24,000 injections. So this is something we definitely need to discuss with our patients to make them aware of possible very rare side effects and to monitor the patients for these eventual side effects. Fortunately, they were very rare.
How do you address safety profile with your dry AMD and geographic atrophy patients? Well, as I mentioned, choroidal neovascularization is a very perplexing side effect that we see with both geographic atrophy treatments. And it's a very difficult concept to explain to a patient that maybe I'm going to take your late dry macular degeneration and give you also wet age-related macular degeneration, requiring a different treatment to be injected. But the way I describe it to patients is that if I allow your geographic atrophy to progress, you will eventually lose vision. If we start to treat it, we can reduce that progression. If you develop wet age-related macular degeneration because of that treatment, the results in both clinical studies for our two different GA treatments show that those patients actually did very well from a visual acuity outcome standpoint. So although it is an adverse event, and it is something we watch for very closely, thankfully, so far, the results in terms of visual acuity are good. Experts agree that they anticipate improvements in efficacy and safety for treatments targeting the complement system in the future. Do you think there will be challenges with patient compliance? If so, what would be your approach to address this with your patients? Well, I think patient compliance is a huge issue. So if I have a patient that in the past has not shown up for their visits or really has trouble getting into their visits, maybe doing the current GA treatments may not be in their best interest, because if they were to stop the treatment, in general, the geographic atrophy would start to progress again. So when I explain to them that we are starting the treatment, I make an agreement with them that we will continue this treatment on a fixed dosing interval to allow us to achieve the outcomes that were achieved in the clinical studies. And only those patients to agree to this approach will we start the treatments.
Well, it is true that it's been demonstrated that with age, compliance can be a problem. So the older the patient is, probably the more difficult is to continue the treatment. But I think that in this case, there are two key points. First, to work with the expectations of patients. I think that unfortunately we'll have patients that are waiting for any of treatment options because they already have a problem on the other eye, or they have any family past history of patients that, or relatives that have any visual problem. So if we do really start with this expectation, we really explain that this treatment won't have any effect in improvement, that the efficacy will be if we can stop the progression and this visual function loss, I think we will increase this rate of compliance. Obviously, we will lose some patients, but we also really need to learn, and again, to identify the profile of patient that could benefit the most and probably will be more motivated to continue with the treatment.
This is a very important question in these patients. I think that the major compliance challenges will be in the patients that have only one affected eye. But if the patient has just one seeing eye from GA and the other has a very low visual acuity due to the foveal involvement, I think these patients will be very motivated to perform the treatment. So in any case, I think it's very important to talk and to explain to these patients how important it is to stick to the treatment and to do the continuous treatment, also because the clinical trial data show that the better results and the major effects of the treatment are after 18 months of treatment. So that is something really important to emphasize to the patients.
I hope that the Your Retina Independent Medical Education Consensus video interviews will improve your ability to effectively diagnose and manage dry macular degeneration patients and those patients with geographic atrophy in your practice. Thank you, and until next time.